And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. And he built Eloth, and he restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechiliah of Jerusalem. And he did right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done. And he continued to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding through the vision of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God prospered him. Now, he went out and warred against the Philistines and broke down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the area of Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbaal and the Midianites. The Ammonites also gave tribute to Uzziah, and his fame extended to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate, at the corner buttress, and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and hewed many cisterns, for he had much livestock, both in the lowland and in the plain. And also had plowmen and vine dressers, the hill country and the fertile fields, and he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army ready for battle, which entered combat by divisions, according to the number of their muster, prepared by Jael the scribe and Maaseiah the official under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officers. The total number of the heads of the households of valiant warriors was 2,600. And under their direction was an elite army of 307,500 who could wage war with great power to help the king against the enemy. Moreover, Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, body armor, bows, and sling stones. And in Jerusalem, he made engines of war invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners for the purpose of shooting arrows and great stones. Hence his fame spread afar, for he was marvelously helped until he was strong. But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly, and he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, for he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. And they opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priests, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar of incense. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead, and they hurried him out of there, and he himself also has hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper. He was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first to last, and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amoz has written. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the grave which belonged to the kings, for they said he is a leper. And Jotham his son became king in his place. Amen. So we have this interesting chapter of Uzziah, and so Uzziah becomes king pretty young, not as young as his father became king, but pretty young age, 16 years old. And he becomes king. He reigns for 52 years. So that's a pretty long reign, considering the other kings throughout this lineage. And we have a good report in the beginning. He does right in the sight of the Lord, according to all his father Amaziah had done. And he continued to seek the Lord, especially in the days of Zechariah. Now we have another instance. Remember, his father was also in the same way. That when he had a good counselor next to him, in this case it was Zechariah, he did very, very well. And this goes to the idea, especially what Proverbs tells us about, being wise by having wise counsel around us. There's wisdom in the bevy of counselors and these type of things. And so he did right to do that. We don't really know exactly what happened, or this chapter doesn't really say what happened to Zechariah, but seemingly later on in his life, he obviously makes a mistake. But we see a highlight, and Ezra's laying out all the stuff that he did. So if you think about it, pretty impressive track record. He goes and he defeats and breaks down the walls of the Philistines, which is huge, to go in into to Gath and in Jabneh and Ashdod. And he conquers these cities. He makes war with a bunch of nations, and obviously he succeeds and does well. And then he builds fortifications all over Israel, to the gates, in the valleys, in the hill countries. I mean, he's everywhere, and he fortifies them. And then he creates cisterns or water wells, huge water wells. And so, and he's got a lot of livestock. He's a man of the soil. And so, produce and these things were actually quite bountiful, during the times of Uzziah. And on top of that, he has this great army. And this is actually the first time recorded in history. Uzziah, was kind of a military genius, but military genius more in the sense that of his weaponry. And this is the first time in recorded history that these guys actually prepare weapons where they can send projectiles. So if you ever watch movies these days, you know, like Gladiator and all these things, you know how they have these huge balls, and you know there's these machines that basically launch these balls and arrows and these kinds of things, actually designed by Uzziah. And so the history goes all the way back. I mean, who knew, right? Now, there's some speculation that actually the Syrians had done this, but you know, Ezra basically gives credit to Uzziah for this. He made engines of war. That's basically what they called it. And they're basically these big machines that would send projectiles all over. They could shoot very far. And so as a result, his fame became very great. And it's interesting, in the end of verse 15 it says, "For he was marvelously helped until he was strong." And so in other words, God was with him. God helped him come to this place of strength. And then in the moment he becomes strong, something happens. In verse 16, then here's the preceding verse. "But when he became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly." And this is really the challenge for so many of us. This is a challenge for us to really continue to walk with the Lord. You know, it's nice that David Wu is here today. I'll just use him as an example real quick. But I mean, not just about him, but like. And so, you know, David now finally, he graduated. Congratulations, David. You know, long journey. You know, he's now Dr. Wu. You can call him that now. That's official. And then, you know, we've been praying for David for a couple of years, right, about work and these type of things. And so, so David's been coming out faithfully to EMP. But now David has a job. But he still faithfully comes out to EMP. It's very interesting. And I just say that because a lot of times you'll notice people that don't have a job, and we're praying for them very faithfully, and the moment they get a job, they're gone. You never see them ever again to any prayer meeting. And it's fascinating how that works, right? People are so, you know, we're praying for things, and they finally get it, and next thing you know, God, dependency, out the window. It's brothers and sisters, it's not really going to be how we react in failure that will define us. I mean, that will define us for sure. But if you look at the way the enemy works and look at, you know, his schemes, it's actually how we react in the place of success. It's when we have a lot of money. It's when we have fame. It's when we're put on the pedestal. That will really define our relationship with God. Listen, you know, because it's so important, when things are not going well, you have to turn to the Lord. I mean, where else are you going to go? You know what I mean? I mean, who else can you receive mercy from? But when things are going really well, you have a lot of resources at your feet. But that really goes to the heart of our relationship with God. For whatever reason, Uzziah, God helps Uzziah come to this place of strength. It comes to this place of prominence. And the moment he hits this place, we know the text, Uzziah gets very, very proud. And it's interesting, if you look throughout particularly the Old Testament, You see how this pride manifests. And so, and a lot of it manifests in a very spiritual way, by the way. And so Uzziah, he feels like he's reached this stratosphere in God. And so he thinks, and this is how it works. He's reached this height with God, which means that he can get away with stuff. Which means that, oh, yeah, God's with me, I can do this. Isn't that generally how it works in our life? We think we're so close to God, and so we skirt a little bit and just kind of like, oh, yeah, God will forgive me, or God is with me, and we mistake our place. And so he goes into the temple to burn incense, which was ordained by the sons of Aaron to do that. But he feels like, you know, I just, because God's with me, I just want to be like God in that way. We're talking about the sin of Lucifer more than anything else. You'll see this through a lot of texts as well. And they just feel like, we hear this, I'm special. You may hear this from pastors. God has given me a special revelation. He's not given to anybody else, just me. Whenever you hear something like that, you should run. Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun, man. Right? Everything has already been revealed to us. But we hear that a lot of times. Like, you know, I've had this special, special revelation. God's only spoken to me. I don't think so. I don't really think that's how God really works in that way. And so, God could give people insight, you know, but you know, there's this haughtiness, this pride, like, only for me kind of thing. And that's what Uzziah runs into. So he goes into the temple of the Lord, and the translation actually doesn't do a very good job of explaining this, but Ezra basically says they come into the temple, and so Uzziah goes in, and then the next thing, you know, Azariah, the high priest, follows him. Because it's kind of like, you know, what are you doing here? This is like, you know, kind of stay in your lane, you know, kind of thing. You're the king, man. This is our job, basically. And he comes in and he brings 80 valiant priests with them, all valiant men. They walk into this place and Uzziah is just entered, so he hasn't done anything yet. And they're like, what are you doing? But they can see the intent of his heart. What are you doing? You're not supposed to do this. And you can see the Ezra's language very clear that he's laying out to these guys, this is wrong. You are not supposed to be doing this. In fact, if you do this, you'll be unfaithful to the Lord and you'll receive no honor from God. I mean, that's as clear as you can say it. And then the text says, Uzziah, so he has a censer in his hand. Actually, the text actually says he grabbed the censer in his hand. In other words, the priests say, hey, don't do this thing. And Uzziah, angered inside, because remember, Uzziah is special. So he has a special place. Angered in his heart, he picks up the censer, which they burn the incense, and he does the priestly role. And right then, boom, God strikes him. And leprosy starts forming over his forehead, you know, on his head. And it's more the head, not necessarily just the forehead, over his head. And so most likely could have been, I just throw it out, could have been that his hair fell out right on the spot. And so it was very visible. It was like, oh, everyone's shocked, you know, at this appearance. Like something drastic happened. And so again, I don't want you to think, oh, just like a little white spot happened on the forehead, but like something, you know, my interpretation, I think that his hair probably fell out right on the spot because the leprosy hit his head. And then next thing you know, Uzziah is ushered out of this place. And now I'm reading into the text now, right? But seemingly it seems that because leprosy held on to him the whole time, that he probably didn't repent. Now, that's what we call an argument in silence, right? So I'm just making a suggestion. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it seems logical in that way because it says that he had leprosy for the rest of his life. He had to stay in an outhouse basically because he was a leper. Remember, he had to be separated from the people. This was an act of defiance on his part. Seemingly an act of repentance probably could have restored him. I don't know. It's just a suggestion. I just throw it out there. And then he dies and not much fanfare. He needs to be buried a little bit separated. It's in the area, but a little separated, not quite in the same tombs because of his leprosy, which had been according to the law. But it's interesting how this works. And isn't that exactly how the devil goes about it? Remember going all the way back to Adam and Eve? What was the base temptation? You're going to be like God. In other words, you're special. You're special. You eat of this fruit, right? Because you're so special, because God loves you, you're in that place. And this is what you get to do. You have the privilege of this, even though God said don't do that. And it's a subtle attack of the Lord. And again, you know, going back, it's not necessarily in our down times or in the moments of our weakness that really define how we walk with God. It really is in this place of the moments of our strength. Again, moments of weakness, you have no one else to turn to but God. But moments of strength, and this is, you know, if you've ever heard me teach on humility, this is actually the biblical prerogative. Because when people are lifting you up, when you're at your strength, it's at that moment that now you humble yourself, which is the biblical prerogative. Remember, it's always a compound word, humble yourself. And the time that you can humble yourself is when you're at a height. You're humble by circumstances, you're already low. And that's what humility means. It means to put low. So you could either be, and this is an easy way to understand, you could either be humiliated, which is to put low, same thing, or you can humble yourself. In other words, put yourself low. That's the biblical prerogative of how this works. And it's fascinating. We see this picture. We see another look at it is we see this overriding theme through the scriptures of kings, priests, men of God, women of God that start well, but don't finish well. They don't finish strong. And it's true what Peter tells us. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. He's going to wait. We're at a height. He's going to wait until a weak spot, you know, a chink in our armor shows up, and then he pounces. And so we always need to be on the alert in that way. All right, so let's close our eyes. Let's learn from Uzziah. Again, it's not necessarily how we react in times of difficulty, even though that is true, and that does say a lot about somebody. But you know what says even more is how they react in times of strength. I'm sure you've heard your friends, or maybe even yourself, say, God, if you give me this, I'm going to do this. How many times has God given us that and we have not followed through? The moment we get what we've been asking for, our human nature, our sinful nature tends to forget about God and how we even got there. That's the sin of the Israelites through and through. God leads them out of Egypt, and next thing you know, they forgot it was Him, and they give credit to the Baals, to the calf. We saw in the last chapter, Amaziah comes and he turns away and he goes after the gods of Seir, who God just helped them defeat. It's amazing how that works. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you, not only about the times of difficulty, but the times of blessing. How you react, how you give glory to God speaks volumes about your relationship with Him.
You say you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've hated. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you
You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. But that fact should lead us into a place of humility. It should lead us into a place of gratitude, not into a place of entitlement. Unfortunately, that's what happens to Uzziah. He feels like he can get away with stuff. He feels special. We are special for sure. But it should lead us into a humble place. Now let's pray. Let's pray that in times of difficulty that we would honor the Lord. In times of strength, we would honor the Lord. That either high or low, good and bad, hill, mountaintop, or valley, that we would be the same. That we would always honor the Lord. Now let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word over their lives. And particularly, let's pray for Calvin, who's in Germany right now, getting a special treatment. Let's pray for success. Let's pray for our community that are battling with your illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. And let's pray for the word of salvation. Pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illness. And let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for Dan, and let's ask God to open doors and provide during this time. Go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia. Pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide her in her language study and her ministry. Let's also pray for Cambodia. Pray for Grace, her new business as mission that will continue to go well. Pray for Pastor Jenny at Oasis House and their healing ministry. Let's just lift up these countries and our friends' ministry. Let's pray over our missions council. Let's ask the Lord to really use these men and women of God to lead our church in our mission endeavors and for a real spirit of wisdom and revelation. We really hear from the Lord. Let's pray for our local outreach, our Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom, Bridge, and Recreation. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our leaders, all of our volunteers, and every person that we come in contact with during these outreaches. We just really get a sense of Jesus in their life. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster adoption ministries. Let's pray for our leaders. Pray for our families, our foster families, and pray for our babies. And let's pray that more families would sign up to really take care of the most needed, the most marginalized here in Hong Kong, which are these babies. Let's pray for them. Thank you. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, IP, SPU, SP Youth, and let's also pray for our conference this weekend with Peter Sukahira. Picked him up yesterday. We had a great conversation, excited for this weekend, for tonight, 8 o'clock. It's not too late to sign up, by the way. And let's just ask the Lord's favor as he teaches throughout our time. And let's pray for our gatherings. Let's pray for house churches tonight. Elements, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide our leaders, our hosts, all of our house church members, that they would really fall deeper in love with the Lord and with each other. And lastly, I know it's not on this list right now, but let's pray for SP Beijing for a bit. This week, there's been major crackdowns, particularly in the Chaoyang district, which is actually where our church is at. They've already 30 or 40 churches have already been monitored and shut down and all kinds of things. And even I just got a text yesterday, even BICF, they denied 4 visas to their staff, which is the first time. And so it seems like there's some ramping up that's happening. Let's just pray. Let's just cover not just SP Beijing, but let's cover other churches in Beijing that they would remain open, the gospel would be preached. And let's just spend a moment and just lift them up. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for your word. God, thank you again for just that gentle reminder, Lord, either in good or bad times, God, that we ought to love you. We ought to be grateful, God. We ought to give thanks, Lord, and be humble before you, Lord God. Lord, we see in Uzziah's life, Lord, where, Lord, you brought him to that place of strength, God. But instead of using that strength to glorify you, Lord God, he lifted himself up. And we recognize that's a temptation that each one of us has as well. And so would you help us, God, Lord, be it the mountaintop or the valley, wherever we're at, Lord, help us to give you glory, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us, particularly watch over our Christian brothers and sisters throughout China. Lord, we pray, God, that you would protect them, that you would just mark them, God, for you. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. Especially this weekend with Peter, God, use him powerfully to speak into our community, God. We thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you throughout this weekend.